98.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
No, it's not. Where you at, New Orleans? I am Brian Bienemy. You all know me as Brian and Ola East, but this is the Sports Hangover. Unfortunately for GCAT, he can't come out to play right now, but if you leave your name and number at the end of the message, he'll get back to you at the sound of the beep. Beep! Gus is on, he's away. He was with Tulane. But you got me, don't worry. Now, I understand how this is supposed to be done. I didn't do it in the first hour because, really, Gus can't make me. But I tell you what, I'll do it in the second hour. I will welcome you all to the midway point of the work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more that, what, that camera Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
We are here to talk Saints. We're here to talk Pels. But before that,
we're the Wizards.
Peace and humpiness forever.
If you just live your life by the words peace and humpiness forever, I'm pretty sure you're going to live like, I mean, it's like almost like Hakuna Matata. You're carefree. Nothing to worry about. But there is something to worry about on the Pelicans front. Because I was asked a question on Twitter that made me think. And I mean, like, it really got to me. For all those that follow me on Twitter, it's public underscore B underscore enemy. That's at public underscore B underscore enemy. I've been on an anti-Anthony Davis tirade lately. And it's simply because I don't like what I'm seeing from the Pelicans. We're talking about a team that swept the Portland Trail Blazers last year, in which Alvin Gentry said it back then. He said it was fool's gold. But they gave the Warriors a good matchup in that second round series. I think personally, and I'm not refs guy and saying, oh, the refs, you know, are rigged. I'm not that guy. But I do think Golden State got some calls that went their way in that series. And had they not got those calls, I think that series goes a little bit differently. Do I think Golden State eventually wins? Yes. But I think the Pelicans would have gave them a hell of a fight. With that being said, you come in this year basically with the same team, or at least the core guys that got you to where you wanted to be, minus Rondo and, of course, Boogie Cousins. Now, we all know Boogie popped the Achilles. You went to the playoffs without him. And many of you, I remember, I got the receipts. Many of you said, no way can the Pelicans play Boogie Cousins. Why would they? Coming off an Achilles.
By the way, he's coming back January 18th. And
yes,
he's going to be playing
heard.
The Los Angeles Clippers.
Indeed. I've heard Boogie will be back soon. We'll see. You know, sometimes they give you a timetable and it doesn't happen. But with that being said, we all were in agreement, at least the majority of us. No way can you give Boogie Cousins a max contract. Then the Pelicans didn't. Boogie started crying like a little baby. He took his talents to Golden State out of spite. And then he started to trash the Pelicans organization. I didn't like the idea that I didn't hear Anthony Davis speak up. I didn't like that. Rajon Rondo, point guard, playoff Rondo. We all loved him, didn't we? We all love playoff Rondo. He gone. Rondo said the Pelicans made him wait. What, 5 minutes when they told you, hey, Rondo, what do you think about coming back? And they made you wait 5 minutes? Are you serious? So he takes his talents to L.A.
He wanted out.
He was going with the king. He wanted to be on a championship team. Or he thought LeBron was going to deliver. Now they have their, you know, they have their ups and downs. They're trying. But it's LeBron and a bunch of babies. So now you look at the Pelicans and you say, okay, how do you replace what we've lost? You bring in younger, cheaper, more athletic versions of the guys you just lost. Elfrid Payton is Rajon Rondo, more athletic and younger. He doesn't have the basketball IQ of a Rondo. No, he doesn't. But we've seen what happens when Elfrid Payton is in a lineup. I believe he's 8-2. The Pelicans are 8-2 when he's in a starting lineup and plays more than 20 minutes. 8-2. That sounds a lot like the impact that a Rondo would have, doesn't it? And then you have Julius Randle. Beast. That boy is a bully. And I think right about now he should be in timeout from the way he's been bullying cats down low on the block. And all we've heard this offseason from AD, that one eyebrow turtleneck wearing just goofball, is the idea that he doesn't have enough help. Really? Let's examine that. Elfrid Payton averages a double-double. I believe he's 10 points, 10 assists every game. And I want to say he's also like 4 rebounds or something like that. I could be mistaken on that. Jordan, could you pull that up for me, brother, so I can know Elfrid Payton's exact numbers? Drew Holiday, double-digit points, double-digit assists. Julius Randle, double-digit points, double-digit rebounds. I believe Julius is somewhere around 19 and 11. So we got Elfrid Payton's numbers up. What we got, Jordan? What's his numbers right now? What's he averaging?
With points?
Since he's been back. Scroll up.
Let's see.
Should have him right there. His
2018, yeah, he's played 10 games, and he's averaging 15.1 points per game.
So there you go. So you're talking about double-digit point guard scoring. Talking about,
I'm sorry, 11.6.
Okay,
points.
Okay, so yeah. 11 points. What's his rebounds? You see him? Okay, I'm looking at it now. My apologies, y'all. The idea of it all is he's averaging double-digit points, almost 6 assists per game. Julius Randle is almost a 20-10 guy. Nico Mirotic, when he was healthy, 20-10 guy. Drew Holiday, double-digit points, double-digit assists. And the best perimeter, one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. Why are you not winning? I understand the Pelicans are top heavy. Their top 6 players can play on any NBA roster. The rest of the players, it's me, Jordan, Gus, and maybe even we can get Dino to come out of retirement. Dino. That's it. We understand.
I mean, this Pelicans team is basically the Milwaukee Bucks in a nutshell.
Here's what I don't want to hear anybody tell me anymore. Anthony doesn't have help. You know who doesn't have help? James Harden. James Harden doesn't have help. James Harden is James Harden, Clint Capella, me. That's James Harden. And Clint Capella ain't exactly making it happen. Do I understand that the Pelicans bench isn't worth isn't worth Monopoly money? Yes, I know this.
But 5 points is not okay for a team, an NBA team.
I agree. You should never have your bench score 5 points. I get that. So when your starter score 122 points, you should win that game. I get it. The bench is crappy. That's on Dell Demps. What happens in those games when the bench comes up and they show up and Anthony Davis, doesn't, and they still don't win? You're going to blame Elvin Gentry? You're going to blame Dell Demps? Okay, do that. Because they all bear some blame. So you can say Elvin Gentry hasn't made an adjustment, or he's running a certain system that the players may not want to run. You can tell me Dell Demps didn't do all he can to get Anthony Davis another star, or that the Pelicans bench is crappy. I'll roll with all of that. If you give me this, at what point do we look at the players and say, man the hell up, stop being babies and crying, and go out there and do your damn jobs? You know what I don't have to worry about as a grown man? Nobody has to tell me, tap me on my shoulder, wake me up and tell me, Brian, go drive that truck so you can make money to support yourself and your family. You ain't got to tell me that. As a grown man, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Get up, drive my truck, go make some money. And when my homeboy tells me he's going to be out for a few days, hey, can you fill in for me? I got you, bro. But that's what a grown man does. He does his job according to the way he's supposed to. Nobody has to motivate him. So don't give me that crap about Gentry doesn't have the team motivated. I don't care. You're a grown man. When are you going to motivate yourself? When are you going to take it upon yourself to say, man, look, I know the Brooklyn Nets supposed to have a little bit of talent, but I'd be damned if they're going to beat us tonight. They can go beat on Cleveland, but they ain't going to beat us. The Brooklyn Nets should not be leading the Anthony Davis-led team. Sorry. I ain't see him do that to James Harden and the Rockets. You ain't going to tell me the Rockets top to bottom have a more talented top 6 than the Pelicans. Do they have a little help on their bench? Sure. But not enough to convince me that the Pelicans should have lost to the Brooklyn Nets. When is Anthony Davis going to man up and stop saying, I'm frustrated? Grab somebody by the neck and make sure they know you're frustrated. Tell a guy like Ian Clark. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Ian Clark. Ian Clark tries. If I see Solomon Hill one more time shoot a 30-foot damn jumper, he catching hands. I'll be at the Pelicans game tonight to make sure. When is Anthony Davis going to tell Solomon Hill, say, bro, you shoot that again, and I'm going to whip your behind up in here. Don't shoot that ugly jumper. Solomon Hill has been in the league how many years now? And the brother can't even develop a corner three. Something consistent. This is what Anthony Davis has to work with. I get it. But when is Anthony Davis going to take control and say, this is my team, my city? So then somebody on Twitter asked me, B, why are you going so hard on Anthony Davis? And it took me a minute. It took me a minute. It didn't dawn on me at first. Why am I being so hard on Anthony Davis? Is it because he came out and said he's a top basketball player in the league? No, that's not it. You're supposed to think that if you're in the league and you're a top player. I'm pretty sure James Harden feels the same way. Russell Westbrook, Paul George, all of them, Kevin Durant. You're supposed to feel like that. Is it because the Pelicans aren't winning this season? Maybe a little bit. But that's not my sole reason for it. Why am I upset that Anthony Davis is pulling the stuff that he's pulling right now? And it's twofold. The first reason is because you're doing it coming off a playoff push. If Anthony Davis does this prior to this season, if he does it over last season before they made the playoffs, I'm all with you, bro. Look, I was on the Fire Gentry campaign too. I was on that bandwagon. So if it's before last season in the playoff push in which you swept the third seed, and you could have been the third seed minus a game here or there. You swept the third seed. At what point do we look at Anthony Davis and say, bro, shouldn't you have said that last year? Not coming off a playoff push in which you made it to the second round. Not saying you're bringing in some young talented guys in which you should be leading as the leader of the team. He's not an alpha dog. I get that. You better find one because Anthony Davis ain't it. He doesn't have that dog in him. That's why he was so comfortable saying Rondo can take control or Boogie can take control. No, we need Anthony Davis because Rondo and Boogie ain't here now. They gone. But this is the real reason why I have a problem with Anthony Davis. You lied to me. I feel hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. I didn't tell Anthony Davis to lie to me and tell me he loved New Orleans. He did that on his own. He sold me a bill of goods thinking that he was all in. And if you know anything about New Orleanians, if you're on the outside looking in, if you're listening on TuneIn Radio app, the Simple Radio app, here's what you know about New Orleanians. We love you to love some us. We love you to love us. And if you do, you will get our undying love. You will get a fan base that will love you and support you to death. We will fight other people behind you. You don't believe it? Check out the Saints right now. Let somebody go on there.
We're essentially fighting each other because exactly. We're waiting for the Eagles.
You tell me if you go on there and make a bad comment about a Saints player, how Saints Twitter comes out of nowhere and will destroy your mentions.
These people are hungry.
Destroy your mentions. So my point for saying this, AD, you lied to me, bro. You lied to me. You told me you were New Orleans savior. You said you were going to come in. You were all in New Orleans all the time. You had a fully loaded clip, and it was all New Orleans. You were in. You were our guy. You were the guy that didn't want to be in the big market. You were the guy that did not want to be the guy that said, I need help. No, you were the guy that said, help's going to come here because I'm here. And because you were that guy, I believed you. I believed you. I believed you had New Orleans in his best interest. I believe you wanted to turn New Orleans into a powerhouse. When you were telling me that you were trying to recruit guys like Boogie Cousins to come in and play here, I believed you. In all offseason, all I've heard was everything but that. I heard you tell me, it's not about legacy. It's not about money. It's about being in the best position to win. When are you going to make us win, bro? We're waiting. We're waiting on you to turn us into a perennial playoff team. So that's my problem with Anthony Davis. It's not because the Pelicans are losing. You win some, you lose some, as long as you give full effort. My problem is, you lied to me. You hurt my feelings. And for that, you might be walking, up to, the Smoothie King Center and somebody might just push you down into a mud puddle. It can happen. Gonna take a quick break. Guess who's been let out of the dungeon? All those that are paying attention on Periscope, look who it is. Finally let him out. He's going to join us. I don't really want him to, but he's here anyway, and it's his show, so I guess I'll let him come on. G-Cat is in the building. Thank you all for tuning into the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. We'll be back after the break. Catch you soon.
Keep your business. business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Jack.
We're the Plow Guys. How do we keep your driveways clean?
With commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive.
They helped with a customized insurance plan that keeps our
business on the road.
And that's news worth
shouting out loud simultaneously.
Enthusiastic yelling at the same time.
Yeah!
Terrible. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided and serviced by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated and third-party insurers.
At AutoZone, helping you get more done is what we do best. Like with the AutoZone Rewards Program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for $22.99 after a $7 AutoZone gift card by mail. Upgrade to a K&N filter for $3 more. Visit any of our 5,600 locations nationwide and let us do more for you. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Keep your tax refund in your pocket and get a new home. Zero down programs are available at Houma's Clayton Homes. Any income is income. SSI, disability, child support, we take it all. Visit Houma's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 or check them out on Facebook. And remember, when you call 985-872-2850, if that old trailer house has got to go. That's Houma's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Houma.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I'm upset. 50,000 on my head is disrespect. So offended that I had to double check.
I'm upset and offended right now.
Why are you upset and offended?
You're here. Who let you out?
I let myself out.
Did I not lock the door?
I will say this. I am very happy. I am happy that you are dressed in a little Saints vest. You got the yes. Saints cap going and everything.
Yes.
Right?
I'm very hoot at right now.
Yes. Because you know what I'm sick and hearing of?
Go Eagles. Fly Eagles fly?
Fly Eagles. Go Eagles. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all over the place the last 24 hours for me.
No, don't worry.
Actually, 48 hours.
Yeah, the Saints will end that real quick.
The doorman.
Yeah.
The people, I mean, they were very nice, you know, like, hey, welcome back, good, you know, good luck to the game and everything, but like, it was under the breath thing that bothered me the most, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was this morning. we're going out of the hotel lobby onto the team bus to get to the airport.
Yeah.
And he saw me and he just looked, he goes, where were you guys from? And he knew where we were.
Yeah.
He knew, I mean, we have Tulane across the chest. I'm sure we've been staying there since Monday, fully aware. And, you know, the second somebody said New Orleans, he grinned and he goes, fly, Eagles, fly. Knew it immediately. And I'm like, all right, okay, I got it. So it was the entire time that I was taking turn.
We actually had a caller that said Katrina was the best thing that ever happened to us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. Fly, Eagles, fly. Yeah. Katrina, the best thing that ever happened to you guys.
The best thing that ever happened, huh?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. I'll say this. It definitely is, there's an energy, you know, having just been there a little bit. And look, I mean, it's crazy because you still see a lot of, and I want to say the old times, but I mean, you've got the papers and you know, I mean, you could see like the airport, obviously, which is a little different because that's transient people going in and out. But walking up and down the area where we stayed was the theater district and everything. And yeah, it's there's definitely a lot of people that are into that for sure. And it's funny because we're about to talk a little Pels basketball, but Sixers basketball, there are a lot of fans that are none too happy with that. Spoke to some people. We were watching a national championship game that work at the establishment where you watch the football game. And it's eerie because I walked in on your little, you know, speech there to AD, your ode to AD. And yeah, they're kind of a dysfunctional mess here as well. You know, and you kind of always wonder too. And it's kind of to your point that you were saying as we bring in David Grubb here about, you know, You want a collective of talent.
Yes.
But you also have to make it match. And when you have, or mesh, and when you have a guy in Jimmy Butler that wasn't happy in Minnesota.
Never happy.
Okay. And then you have a situation where Ben Simmons, you know, you kind of know his history already. And then you have Joel Embiid, who I loved after a loss, said, I didn't get the ball enough, you know.
Yeah.
Waiting on
AD to do that.
Well, and hey, in that last meeting with AD in that first quarter, he kind of dominated in that first half. So, but you have too many wannabe alpha dogs, and who's really the guy and not really kind of doing it all that. But anyway, David Grubbs joins us, Crescent City Sports. David, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back.
David, I want to start off right into it, man, because I read your piece on Crescent City Sports. And when I say scathing, I mean, dude, you could feel the hot fire coming from that thing as you were writing it. And I just want to kind of have you first line up exactly what it was that you were said before we get into the questions. But what made you dive into the piece like that?
Well, I think it's just we've played this game so many times, you know, with this franchise of, well, there's time. We've got time. We've got talent. We've got AD. We'll make up the ground. There's only 4.5 games out of this. We're only behind this many teams. And you're just not going anywhere. It's a hamster wheel. We've done this. And it's shown that this group, however constructed, whether it starts at management, goes to the players, this entire group, it doesn't work. And it's time that we all just stop playing the game of that it's going to work, that there's a magic fix, that there's a player you can add. It just doesn't work. And it needs to be broken down from top to bottom and rebuilt. And that starts with, as far as the player side, that starts with AD. We have to accept that he's not going to be here. There's no thought in my head that says that he's returning to this team. And if that's the case, everybody's got to go.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because last week, right, in Larry Holder's piece about Gail Benson owning both the Saints and the Pels, Brian and David, in there was a quote about her kind of mentioning about Anthony Davis. And you know, again, I don't expect her to be a basketball general manager and be on top of things. And again, I understood, I guess, maybe to an extent what she was saying. But David, when you see and hear, we just need more time. I like that. What's everything in place? It's almost tone deaf to the phone calls that we get to the people that I'm sure go back and forth with you, where people are unhappy. And then you have the head coach after the win say that there is no time. Everything now is almost a must win situation. You have to win every game that you're playing. So fans feel it. And, you know, the coach is flat out saying it. There is no time. You can't go on losing streaks. They need to go win 4 or 5 games in a row. And you have the owner saying, oh, all is well. We got time. You know, that. And I think that's the thing where fans just grab the palm of their hand and right on the forehead, you know?
Yeah, where is the connection between management, what we see on the court, and the community? I think the Pelicans are an afterthought in the city of New Orleans for a big chunk of the population. And that has direct to do with how the team is marketed, the level that it's marketed, and the fact that it doesn't seem that there's a lot of caring from the main side of the operation about what goes on the other side. And that starts at Mickey Loomis, who is the de facto president of vice president of basketball operations, but who freely says that he does not pay attention to what goes on over there. And in any great front office, there needs to be some competitive and creative tension. Doesn't mean that the two people are on different pages, just like it was Jim Fink and, Jim Mora. They weren't always on the same page, but they were always in the same book. And it's the same with Scott Pioli when Bill Belichick was building the Patriots. And it took it when Jeff Ireland had to come in to the front office with the Saints to give a different perspective on talent. when you don't have that competing at the top and you have one person who's also spread amongst probably more responsibilities than any other GM in the league, then that's not going to work. And it just hasn't worked. And it's, I don't, that's why there's no one person to say, well, let's fire Dell and it'll be better. No, it won't, because the structure's still bad. Fire Gentry and it's better. No, it won't, because the players still won't be right and the structure at the top won't be bad. Well, trade this player. You still don't have enough. It's everybody. And that's what people have to start paying attention to. And that's what people need to hold Dale Benson and the ownership of, accountable for.
I walked in, David, and Brian was holding AD accountable to a certain extent. And Brian, what's interesting is I saw a tweet after the last win, right, that made it two in a row.
Yeah.
Two in a row, ladies and gentlemen, looking for three in a row tonight. But one of the things is when you looked at that tweet, might have been you, David. I know some people were tweeting the last four games, right, or something. ADs look like AD. ADs look like the AD that we've, you know, gone to and stuff. So I don't know if it's the hashtag together. I don't know if it's coming to Jesus talks. I don't know if it's, hey, you know, it's now or never. I don't know. Maybe David and Brian, they needed to be put behind the eight ball or something. But that's what he has to do. I mean, you're seeing the Lakers, right? Different team with LeBron out. I mean, that's what makes you, though, an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like, we always have to take these with grains of salt. These last two wins have not come against the elite of the NBA. You beat the Cavs, who lost. You know, lost their last six home games.
Wait, the Cavs don't have LeBron anymore?
Right. You know, like I said, they're the defending Eastern Conference champs.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Hey, there you go.
But, you know, they're playing for the lottery. And then you have a Grizzlies team that just came off a streak where they lost 11 out of 12. So you take those wins, and their wins, fantastic. You have to, if you want them, but you still have to win two out of three the rest of the way. Two out of every three games the rest of the way to even give yourself a chance of making the playoffs. Do you believe that's going to happen? Do you believe that this team is going to win almost 70% of its games down the stretch? You do. I mean, hey, that's great for you. You know, and maybe I can talk to you about some business opportunities.
David, I'm going to kind of lead into where you were going with it, kind of add into it, but asking you, what's better for the Pelicans? You know, I guess long term, is it better for the Pels to I guess become that fool's gold that you mentioned in your piece that Alvin Gentry kind of alluded to after the win versus Portland and kind of saying, well, you know, it's fool's gold, or is it better in for the long term if the Pelicans miss the playoffs and kind of say, you know what, we thought we were a lot better than what we were. Let's self-evaluate, take a look at it again and say, okay, how do we get better from here?
Yeah, that would be my goal. Is you know, missing the playoffs is not always a bad thing, because sometimes you make the playoffs and you give yourself a false belief of what you have. If Anthony Davis is gone, if you don't feel like the odds are good that he's coming back, and I personally don't, then I play the season out. I tell them we're not making any major moves. If you want to give away a second rounder and bolster the roster somewhere, that's fine. But what we have is what we've got. If you can dump a contract, that's great, but we're not giving up anyone. We're not taking on any money. So you play the season out, you see what happens. If you make the playoffs, okay. But you're not trying to do anything other than get this group healthy and see what you have. If they make a run, then maybe an AD decides he signs, that changes your evaluation process. But if you play this group out, they, you know, you have Nico on the floor, you've got Randall, you play the rest of the season out, and they just don't show any spark, then you know the mandate is there. You've got a clean house, and we've got to understand these operations. Get a real basketball president in there and let him decide, or her decide, what this organization is going to look like going forward and what the goal is. Because ever since they got Anthony Davis, we've all been confused as to what the goal of the franchise is. Was it to be competitive? Was it to win a championship? Was it to be entertaining? And frankly, they haven't succeeded on any three of those levels.
David, it seems to me, when I look at the Pelicans team, that maybe kind of what you were saying just now, maybe there's a difference in what the Pelicans should be and what the Pelicans are. And I'm thinking by design. Dell Demps has always said he wants to go the young veteran route. But doesn't it sometimes seem like maybe, just maybe, this team may be better off if they build through the draft instead and get a lot of young guys that Alvin Gentry could kind of mold and that'll fit exactly his system instead of trying to, I guess, put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound?
Yeah, I think what the examples that people look at, you look at what Sacramento did, and they decided at some point it's not worth it to pay DeMarcus Cousins $30 million and to have us win 25 games. So we're going to get draft picks. And that's what they went out and did. And now they've got an extremely talented young core of athletes, and they have options. When Boston bottomed out, they collected assets and draft picks. And that's what you have to do in the NBA to rebuild. What the Pelicans kept trying to do was build the plane while it was flying. And when they got Anthony Davis, and again, all of this isn't blamed on Dell, because the ownership told him, when the Bensons took ownership, they said, we expect you to win right now. So yes. When you start making those short-term decisions and giving away your future as far as your first-round pick, and in that time, you know, what we talked about this, since the franchise moved to New Orleans, they've had 3 first-round picks who panned out. I mean, that's an unbelievably low percentage in 17 years. So, yeah, there hasn't been any thought of the future. Somebody's got to put a plan in place of what the franchise is going to be. Everything's been short-term thinking since they moved here.
You know, that's the interesting aspect of it. Speak with David Grubb, Crescent City Sports. DM Grubb's the way to follow on Twitter. Because, fellas, we've talked about this a lot. And, you know, Brian, you hear, not just on our show, but just around the city and really just nationally, too. How do you build to compete? And we talked about this, David. I even think we had you on the show to and we asked you your opinion when the season came to an end last year. Do you build to try to beat Golden State, or do you try to be what I thought is a consistent perennial playoff team, wait to see what happens in Golden State, and be a consistent team that is a second-round team or above, to where, hey, you're a second-round team. Everyone knows, right? San Antonio, they're second-round team in their heyday. I mean, and then you get to the conference champ, and then it's 7 games. Then you got to win 4. Then you don't know what happens. And I looked at it as building like that. And to your point of building the airplane while it's flying, at some point, those lack of first-round picks, that's your depth. That's your guys that can maybe help contribute and add to those pieces. And I think that's where you're kind of seeing the failings right now with that, right?
Right. You keep yourself from making big financial mistakes when you have enough young players at the bottom of your roster. You know, that's why Brooklyn right now can think about what it wants to do with its guards. It has 3 young, relatively cheap guards, you know, and they have a relatively young and cheap front court. And we've seen in 2 games how competitive they were against the Pelicans. They're not perfect. Those are young players and they make mistakes. But you have financial flexibility, and you have people who you can either say, I'm going to grow a Caris LeVert over 3 years, or I'm going to flip a young player. And the Pelicans just don't have assets. When you look around, every time we talk about trading players, they don't have any young assets that you could flip to get something really good. And that comes because they just haven't focused on player development. It's been, like you said, grabbing young veterans who in a lot of cases you're still betting on. They bet on Solomon Hill, and it hasn't paid off. You bet on Etuan Moore, and it has paid off. But for the Pelicans, they need more hits than misses, and they've missed a lot.
About to hit the break, but we'll get you out here with this one, David. Do you see AD still being here after the trade deadline, or do you think it happens, you know, I guess right before?
I think he has to be up in the offseason. There's no way you can get the deal that you want during the season.
Gotcha. David Grubb, Crescent City Sports. Thank you, my brother, for coming on, man. It was real talk as we knew it would be. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Y'all have
Thank
a good
you
one.
So much, Chips. As always, it. At DM Grubb is the way to follow him on Twitter. Can you just give me a quick who dat real quick?
Who dat?
Thank you. I just feel dirty, man. I'm
who
serious.
Who dat say they gonna beat them Saints?
I feel dirty. Ooh, I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Tired of that fly, Eagles fly, huh?
I couldn't. I just every 5 seconds I heard it. It's the Sports Hangover.
Who dat?
That's Brian Bieniemy, Ryan Olise, Jordan the intern in this Pell sweatshirt. We got some Saints to talk. How about the NFC South, man? You got coaches here, coaches there, coaches everywhere. I got so much
Everybody
to get into
gets a
us
coach.
Here. Let's have a little fun. Give us a call, 800-998-1003, and tweet us at ESPN Radio NOAA on ESPN New Orleans.
Megan here with Vision Communications. As you may have heard, we recently increased the speed of our internet service. Vision offers 5 levels of service so you can match the speed and value right for your family. Now's a good time to review your internet service. Most people are using more and more bandwidth and finding that upgrading really makes a difference. Give us a call at 798-7956 to get more speed for your internet experience. Vision Communications, dedicated to bringing you a better vision and faster internet.
Stephen A. Smith here. It's a new year, so make it your resolution to protect your family with life insurance. Life insurance is peace of mind. It can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. Think you can afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $19 a month. That's less than a dollar a day, people. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-601-6992. That's 1-800-601-6992. That's 1-800-601-6992. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Smith, S-M-I-T-H. That's SelectQuote.com/Smith.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Stack!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You travel a lot, don't you?
Well, in business, yes. In basketball, never.
Well, if you're traveling for work, La Quinta by Wyndham has what you need to win on the road.
I mean, you get a spacious work area right in your room, plus charging areas for at least five devices.
And do not forget their hearty, bright side breakfast with waffles, eggs, and meat.
Oh, that's a triple threat.
It's like having home court advantage even when you're away.
Step up your road game and win at business with La Quinta.
Get the best rate guaranteed when you book at LQ.com.
Swish.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover at ESPN Radio NOLA. Joining the intern, Brian Goose, with you. I'm telling you, I just feel... I just couldn't wait.
Did you at least enjoy a cheesesteak?
I couldn't wait. I'm looking out the window. I didn't know what the interstate still shut down over there.
From that truck accident earlier. Yeah.
That wasn't you, huh?
No.
I was making sure. I mean, you're the truck driver, so I'm just making sure.
You know, just because I may have run over a person or five doesn't mean that I'm going to do it every day.
I still have that picture, by the way, of you,
Yeah.
The ditch got in the way, apparently.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was none too fun, by the way. I think it cost me almost $500 to get the truck out.
Be careful of those ditches out there. No, in all seriousness, I mean, I don't know severity. All I know is this morning it took my mom an hour and a half to get from the West Bank to the East Bank because, I guess, of rubbernecking or whatever. But it's still all shut down. We flew over 310, and it's a parking lot.
Yeah.
Airlines a parking lot. Vets is a parking lot. So you might want to give yourself some time.
So should I get on the interstate going?
You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
I'm still... or should I go this way?
Yeah, well, either way you're going, you might... you'll get there eventually. Oh, no. To the Saints? No, you're fine.
No, not the Saints. Go, like, after the Saints to go home.
Well, I mean, you know, you'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not too pretty. Oh, so, by the way...
I should sleep at...
More importantly, can you get the Saints camp? You can. You'll get home at some point. 800-998-1003. The headlines continue here as the coaches and the coaching searches are starting to come here. So yesterday, right, I get ready for the game. I call the game. We do the show. I finally sit back down that night and look over. So Bruce Arians, the head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bringing Todd Bowles with him.
Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator. Todd Bowles is the head coach for the Jets. Mike McCarthy apparently doesn't want to pursue any other job other than the Jets. And now the Browns are getting set to name their head coach. Are you surprised Freddie Kitchens will be apparently the head coach for the Cleveland. Is that?
Oh, wow.
That,
what? That was an unmeaningful clap.
What? He served as the Browns' interim offensive coordinator for the final eight games of the season. The offense did well. And again, I look at it like this, right? What is the most important piece on your team? And it is
your head coach.
Well, defense. The quarterback, Baker Mayfield.
They already got that. They had
No. What I'm saying, well, that's why maybe when you're thinking of who you're hiring.
Well, yeah, it makes sense because, right. You know, him and Baker have that chemistry.
They got along, yeah. You know, and I'm like, well, you know.
Here's what I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Why'd they fire Greg Williams? He gone.
Oh, Kitchens. Kitchens.
That was Kitchens. Interesting to me. Why not? At least, now, again, was it a situation where, you know, they walk in and go, yeah. Okay, Greg, we're going to go in a different direction. Head coach, we'd love to have you. And then that turned into.
No, if I can't be head coach, I'm out of
right,
here.
Right, yeah. Maybe that turned into deuces, yeah. You know.
Well, you know, Greg Williams has like 8 or 9 jobs, you know, already for him.
Ready, lined up. But again, just, yeah, remember that? That lined up. But I wonder if that was the case because the team did respond and did play well for him.
They did.
And they do have a very good young defense. Now, that also could be one of those things where Freddie Kitchens goes, I want my own people.
True. Do you think. Because it's been the big topic around the NFL right now. Do you think the Sean McVay effect is having way too much impact on the NFL?
I know what you're getting into, the Cliff Kingsbury thing.
Yes.
Hey, look, I had several friends yesterday texting me during the show going, there was an article, I think it was CBSSports.com. The column was, how Kingsbury failed his way into being an NFL head coach. Like, that was literally the title of the column, how he failed his way into becoming an NFL head coach. You know, it's incredible because ESPN, I saw last night, did a lot on SportsCenter, Van Pelt, Brian. I saw a massive effort undertaken to try to say, well, this guy's worked, and here it is, all of the quarterbacks he's worked, right? He's worked with this guy and that guy, and then, of course, it ends with Mahomes, and look at all the quarterbacks he's worked. Here's the thing that immediately popped in my head. You had an NFL MVP, possibly, Jordan. Yes. I don't want to, because I know you hate Mahomes. But possibly the NFL MVP.
And you had
two losing seasons.
You couldn't win.
Couldn't win. And in college, now again, I do understand. I mean, you got to have a defense. But my goodness, I have seen, again, just Tulane, the team that I do sideline for. I mean, when, you know, they had a quarterback come in midseason and make the right reads and plays. They went to a bowl game and won. I mean, if you have a quarterback that can make plays, you tend to win. I mean, Clemson, right? Their quarterback outplayed Tua.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But what I'm saying is you had a guy in Mahomes who a year later, well, 2 years later, right? Jordan, don't give me the look. He could possibly be the MVP.
Oh, wow.
True.
He has no respect. Anyway. But so, yeah. So did I miss anything else? Anybody else get hired? Oh, that's right. Dirk Cutter, fired at Tampa Bay, comes back to the Atlanta Falcons, who was part of the offense, right? Apparently he ran the offense for a while. Now they welcome back.
You're listening to ESPN.
And it was Will. Welcome back to the Atlanta Falcons as their offensive coordinator there.
Yeah, you know what? That doesn't surprise me because I think at this point they're just grasping at straws. Whatever chemistry that Matt Ryan had with Kyle Shanahan, they're trying to rediscover that. And it's almost like when you break up with the girl you used to be with, but you're trying to find her and somebody else. You're never going to find that chemistry again. It's not going to happen. There's a reason that's your ex. You're not going to find that again.
Okay, this is what I want to ask you too. All right, because we saw a head coach change in Tampa.
Yeah.
We saw a staff cleansing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I guess a pardon was given in Carolina.
Yeah, I think
okay?
so.
Okay. So I want to quickly do this here to wrap up this segment, and then we can move on a little bit more on specifically as we get going into Saints and Eagles here and Sean Payton's conference call that he had this morning, what he had to say. So when we take a snapshot at this division, we thought it was going to be one of the toughest ones at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was, you know, some pretty good talent and things of that nature. Did they get better? Did they get stronger? I mean, what does Bruce Arians bring you? I was surprised when I looked at his record underneath his name when they're showing his highlights of Carolina at Arizona. I mean, good defense. I'm thinking just off the top of my head. Good defense.
Yes.
The offense. Look, he had that 1 year with Carson Palmer. They didn't win a ton of games.
No.
But, you know, his thing is, who's his quarterback? Does he stay with Jameis Winston? Reportedly, the owner said, whoever's our coach,
they got to keep
Jameis Winston's your quarterback. Are you okay with that?
If I'm Bruce Arians, I basically say, I'm going to try my all. If I can make Carson Palmer, you know, win, I can try it with Jameis Winston, younger talent, more talented, as far as physically, you know, physically anyway. Doesn't have the IQ of a Carson Palmer, but physically he's on that level. But I think what you do is you say, okay, I'll give him a year. And if I can't turn him into a winner this year, then you got to say, okay, we got to scrap this and go get a guy that I can work with.
He's got a lot of good young talent on defense.
No question.
And that makes sense to bring in a Bruce Arians. Because, look, Tampa's going to win because of their defense.
Correct.
Right? Kind of lead first and then hope that the offense makes some plays and things like that. But what was it, Deshaun Jackson.
He wants out.
Right, okay. So that's – but again, maybe that's the old regime, the old coach. Does he try to say, I'll stay around here?
I don't think it's the coaching when it comes to Deshaun Jackson.
Atlanta, you mentioned, you know, do you think it's going to go there? I honestly think they got hurt on the defensive end by those injuries. Deion Jones being injured really nicked them up. You could tell there just wasn't any flow on offense there. And what did I say? The year they went to the Super Bowl, they were the healthiest team. Well, also because of their running back tandem. Freeman didn't play this year. You saw their offense just didn't go there. You and I say this all the time. You let Julio go. That is the most touted.
Oh, goodness.
Best receiver in the league that has zero impact on winning. Am I lying or
not? No, not at all.
Like, Michael Thomas gets double-digit catches in the Saints game, they're winning that game.
Correct.
Julio Jones get double-digit catches for Atlanta, they probably don't win the game.
No, it's crazy. But when you look at Atlanta, the two things that helped them in that Super Bowl year, their offensive line didn't miss a start. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys were on it.
Agreed.
And then, of course, you had the running tandem.
Agreed.
So you were able to let Matt Ryan do that play action and finally find Julio Jones for whatever. And I think that's what helped them. But like you said, the injuries decimated them. I kind of think maybe they moved a little too quickly to clean house on that staff.
That's going to be big. Well, and here's the thing. At some point in time, right? I mean, Dan Quinn, where's the loyalty to there? I mean, at some point he's going to look and walk into that room for practice or to talk to meetings.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have anybody there who's been there 2 years.
No, it's a whole new system now.
Because when Shanahan left, he brought a lot of people with him. You get what I'm getting at? That's one of the things. And the reason I'm doing this right now, folks, in this quick segment is because as we get to Carolina, which kind of looks like an older and stale sort of dried out system there. You can see why the Saints, and the reason I did this is on purpose. I can see this window for real. I mean, you can see how this window can go 3, 4, 5 years. You can sort of see that as long as everything stays intact and together, the cohesiveness, the continuity. Let's see how much brain drain happens this year from Saints. Now, a couple of jobs is why I brought these up.
Yes.
A couple of jobs have been gone. No Saints assistant has been hired yet.
Correct.
So that's, you know, again,
that's huge for the Saints right now, because as you spoke of, it's the continuity that makes the Saints good right now. Dennis Allen has now been in place, 3 years? Mm-hmm. So I think guys have had a chance to grow into that system. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at a guy like Mike Nolan, linebacker whisperer. Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose that guy. No. Do you remember what things were like before Mike Nolan got here?
If Dennis Allen goes, Nolan becomes the defensive coordinator.
No question.
I got to imagine that talk's already happened.
Yeah, and I think Aaron Glenn is also a guy that's, you know, that really hot right now.
I tell you what, he might be somebody I elevate too. I don't know. Depends. Does Nolan want to be a D coordinator?
Correct.
Cause, you know, Aaron Glenn, as you mentioned, he becomes a DC. That next step is already there.
Yeah, no question.
Think he gets a look-see, but if he can become a defensive coordinator and kind of have the success that Dennis Allen had.
Things could get very interesting for the Saints, especially should they seal the deal and win the Super Bowl. I think not necessarily brain drain now, but I think the following year, it's going to be hard to keep those guys.
All third hour, I kind of really want to get into this and we'll play some Sean Payton, but next segment is a short one, but I'm going to ask you this question here as well. Because you just mentioned, right? Okay, cool. We'll keep going top of the hour here. You were mentioning, you said the Super Bowl there. I saw some people tweeting this morning about being nervous and about so much talk about Super Bowl 53. And you know, you hadn't done anything yet. You hadn't played a playoff game yet. You got to win this one. And I understand that. I asked you this yesterday when you were talking about coming on the show today. They're 6-1 since the last meeting, 5-1 regular season, the postseason win.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, who is the better team since the last meeting?
I still believe it's the Saints, because I don't believe Nick Foles makes up for that 41-point gap.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Saints have been injured. I think they've been playing division opponents. And I think they played a team in Dallas in which who just happened to be at right place, right time. We had the right game plan, right place, right time. You guys were playing, you know, 3 of your last 11 games or whatever like that. Now you're coming into our stadium on a short week. I think right place, right time. And it was a wake-up call, because maybe the Saints were kind of maybe feeling themselves a little too much on that win streak, and Dallas had to snap it to remind them. Then we see division opponent. You get Pittsburgh, who's hungry and you know, fighting for a playoff spot, and you still didn't lose. You lost one game in that stretch. So if you're going to tell me Philadelphia is good because they beat up on a bad Washington team at the time, I'm not believing that. I guess my question to be thrown back at you would be, who do you think has more pressure, the defending Super Bowl champs or the team that's at home?
Well, I think Philly's playing with house money.
Casinos ain't made for you to win.
No, I hear you. And if you're Philly, you've been in this mode already.
Yeah.
So it's
you're in playoff mode.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you saw it already, right? I mean, players and teams use different factors to motivate themselves already. And I mean, it was the game hadn't even been fresh. They were in the locker room and, you know, the offensive lineman's going, oh, we wanted a rematch. Doug Peterson in the post game locker room speech, he goes, we all know where we're going. You don't even have to name the city. I mean, they kind of want that, right? I think it's ridiculous they feel the Saints ran up the score. They got throttled. They got beat. That's like Alabama coming out and going, Clemson tried to embarrass us. You couldn't stop them,
yeah.
And you couldn't score. So I get that. So, but that's them. This is the same group, though, B, that wore dog masks.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same group that embraced the underdog role. And you know what? The media and everyone else has – they're the ones to blame for this because they made them underdogs being the number one seed all last year.
Yeah.
So that's their mentality. I'm not surprised. I don't take it personal. That's who they are. You have forged in steel in their mind that they're the people that no one wants to see win. The Saints are the shiny new team this year. They're the team that everyone forgot about. And yeah, you know what? They probably should feel a little ticked off. They won the darn thing last year and no one has respect for them. That can add a little element that makes a game closer. There's no doubt about that.
I'm going to try to make it quick and get all of this in. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the first hour of the show, I said that, dude, doesn't it feel like the Muhammad Ali effect is happening to the Philadelphia Eagles? That the Saints beat them so badly the first game that it's in their minds now? So it kind of makes me feel like they're going to press when they play the Saints. Muhammad Ali beat you before he stepped in the ring. He told you, I'm going to knock you out in the eighth round. And instead of you fighting to beat Ali, you were fighting to stay in the fight until the ninth round. So I think a little bit of that is going on with Philly. The Saints beat you so badly, you're not even talking about the game. You're talking about revenge and what happened last time. Secondly, I kind of want to bring up the idea you brought up, motivational factors. A little bit of a rumor going around right now that Sean Payton pulled a motivational move in which he brought in $225 cash. On top of $225 cash was the Lombardi Trophy. And he asked the guys, do you want this? Locker room, yeah! Win three effing games and it's yours. Locker room erupts. All of a sudden now, that underdog Philly team is no longer the underdog because you got a pissed off Saints team waiting on you to come in because they realize what's at stake based on what happened to them last year in the playoffs in the division round.
Corey, got about a minute here. What you got for us, bud?
Yeah, Dundee. So you think
what's up, Corey?
Do you think Peyton used that, the motivation to when he pretty much give him the bird?
I think Sean Payton uses everything. Sean Payton uses everything for motivation. You could cut that dude off in traffic, and he's going to design a play something like it and then run it against you.
You know, the other thing, too, Corey, I remember last year after the Falcon game, I remember asking Saints players in the locker room what they thought about that, and if that kind of made you feel a little bit better because it made me not better, but your coach is out there fighting for you, too, as well, right? When he came out and talked about the calls and the officials, and he's doing the choking sign. He's like, he's in it. He's on the fight.
He's all in.
And I remember to this day, Sheldon Rankin flat out looked at me and goes, absolutely, because coach is fighting for us, and I'm going to give everything I can for coach. So he's got that respect in that locker room to where they feel he's doing everything they can for him.
I think so many people – I'm sorry, Corey, I'm going to ask you. How do you feel because so many people say that Sean Payton and his antics on the sideline are actually bad for the team? Do you feel that way as well?
To me, I love it. I love it when the head coach go to bat with you. To me, it just makes the game fun. It just makes this – that's why New Orleans is New Orleans, because when you get a coach like that to do stuff like that, I mean, it's just lovely. They don't say no with Pete Carroll pretty much be jumping all up and down and all that stuff. So, to me, I love it. Last but not least, I know y'all about to go to break, but – Peyton said coming into the season, they embrace the hype, right?
Yep.
Embrace it. So this is time for them to embrace it right now. So, I mean, the bottom line is that guess what? Saints got to go out there and go do their part. They do their part, guess what? We next week, championship game, I think it's a 2 o'clock game, I believe, the early window, if I'm not mistaken.
So, Corey, hey, before you get out of here, I want to ask you the question of the day. Who do you think should lead the Who That chant? 30 seconds. What you got?
Reggie Bush again. I love it.
There you go.
Reggie Bush. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Corey, hour three coming up next of the Sports Hangover. If you go anywhere, we'll hear what Coach had to say this morning in his conference call right here, where we return on ESPN New Orleans.